having around God's ear, shining and horrifying. Also the song too.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Wow, we got a full board here. So I'm surprised. I wasn't expecting to see this many people on the call, since I must have reiterated several times that, hey, you can listen to this anytime, but a lot of people wanted to hear. So we're going to get started. So I just counted up just before I went on here. I just counted up how many points, bullet points I had that I wanted to talk to you. I told you I had a lot of things. I was going to talk fairly quick. And I am, go through a number of points. I had 16 points. I've narrowed it down. I've combined a couple here to try to, for the sake of time. So the main thing I want to talk about, first of all, is that obviously we're in extremely volatile times. This has been a crazy week. So let me ask everybody a question. I know you can't answer, but let me ask you a question anyway. How many of you are in it for the long term? Obviously, your partners, I would assume all of you are. You know, something happened some years ago with my daughter, probably a poor analogy. But I said to her, my oldest daughter, I said to her, you know, this is one of those times that you check your faith. This is one of those times that you need to put your faith on. And we talked through some issues. This is a time that you put your conviction on. This is a time when you are you really in it for the long term. Now, I'm going to assume for a moment, because of all the times that I've said this, and so many of you so faithful in your partnership for so many years, you're not the ones that I worry about. But you understand the notion of being long term. Now I want to point out a couple things. A couple things that I've not talked about much, just for one reason or another. So there are a lot of different ways to look at stocks. Some of you are going to look at stocks, you're going to look at the markets based on the news. That's not good. Some of you are going to look at it based on blogs. That's even worse. Some of you are going to look on it based on conspiracy theories. Some of you are going to look at it based on the your next-door neighbor and your relatives and the average Joe on the street. That's not good either. You know, there's a lot of ways to look at the market. Some people look at it purely from a technical perspective. Well, the technicals are this, that, and the other thing. I've said over and over again, I'm a behavioral economist. So when you are going through your any part of you, all, some of you know that when you go through school and you're getting, if you're working on economics or finance or farming, you learn all the fundamentals and you learn all the different things about the particular thing. When you get into your master's program, you learn a whole nother way of doing things. And in that, in those fundamentals, you learn a lot of different basic ways of analyzing, in my case, in the case of economics, of analyzing. Later, as I got into the business, I became a behavioral economist because a person that I worked for, first person I ever worked for, on Wall Street said, that's what you ought to do, focus on behavior. I'm a fundamentalist. I'm not a technician. I'm a fundamentalist with a behavioral slant. I look at fundamentals, and I look at fundamentals from the last 40 years. I look at what is happening fundamentally in the economy. Some of you will remember this. During the Obama administration, as they would take victory laps about the economy, a particular number that came out or whatever it was, and they talked about GDP growth and all those kinds of things, they try to put lipstick on that pig of GDP growth doing nothing. and they talked about it, I always said, it can't be so, because it doesn't add up. You've all heard me say there's no correlating numbers. How can this be good? There is no confirming numbers in the fundamentals of the economy, in the analytics of the economy, that would indicate that anything that we're going through right now is good. I have to look at everything through a fundamental perspective, along with the behavioral side. I try not to get caught up in the news. I try not to get caught up in a lot of different opinions, because I need some, both on the left and on the right, to help formulate or confirm some of the things that I'm thinking. That's always a good thing. But there's no confirmation in the economy today, none whatsoever, that would confirm what's going on in the markets. Nothing. There are people in droves right now running out of the market. They're leaving. They're getting out. Why? Well, it's falling. It's crashing. Why is it falling or crashing? Well, so-and-so said it was. Or I read this article, or I just have a feeling that it is. Look, I want to do things based on why and how and try to give you some help. Right now, today, and probably again this month, I want to hold your hand. If you are a long-term investor, then I want you to understand that you've got to be patient. This is a time we put our convictions to work. This is a time. This is an opportunity. There are people that are listening to this call that are under 45 years old, 45 or under. If you are one of those people that is 45 or under, somebody wants to get a hold of me desperately. Sorry about that ring, if you can hear it. See if I can get rid of it. If you are one of those people that are 45 and under, then you might not understand some of the convictions that I'm talking about, because you haven't seen as much. Everybody listening that is over certainly understands that long-term investing is the place to be. If you are truly an investor and you're in it for the long term, this is a time of patience. This is a time that, yes, your convictions are on trial this month. The correction is a very good thing. We're in correction territory right now. That means we're down 10% from the high. Let me see. October, 1987. Markets dropped 22.5%. I don't know how many of you remember this. Everybody was getting out of the market. Everybody was getting out of the market. I was really getting my trust business ramped up at the time. I had a trust company. 1987. I remember like it was yesterday. Everybody was getting out. We didn't. I didn't. We stayed in. They were getting out because everybody on the news, everybody in the print media was talking about recession is coming. It never happened. It became one of the greatest. I am so thankful for 1987, because it took our business, my trust business, it took it to a whole different level because of what we achieved. And you know how we achieved what we achieved? By doing nothing. How would you like to have a great achievement in a business just for sitting on your hands? We live in a very different place right now, and I want to explain this because it's important for us to understand. The SEC should be called on the carpet by somebody. The SEC has to investigate and put circuit breakers in on the algorithm trading that we are seeing today. It has to. The SEC is partly responsible for this because they took off the breaking point for the uptick. There was an uptick rule, and they took it away. It was in place from like 1948 to 2004 or 5. They took it off, the uptick rule. The uptick rule allowed a stock that when it got too far carried away on the upside, they had to say, whoa, whoa, wait a minute, something's going on, let's see what's happening. Let's pause the trading for a while. There were different circuit breakers that can't be implemented right now because of the algorithm and the trading that is going on. It's got to get fixed. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they've got to come up with some rules and regulations to try to control it. That's half the problem today, and we've got to understand that. Why do I know that? Go back to what I said in the beginning. There's no confirming fundamental economic reason for this going on. So I was going to go into a lot of detail about that confirmation, but you hear that probably pretty much on a regular basis on my program. I'm not going to go into all of that for the sake of time. Just trust me that there's no confirming activity. Things like productivity, unemployment, wages, inflation, low interest rate environment. There is no reason for any of this. If we just look at productivity and unemployment alone, business optimism is so incredibly high. Last week, I did the program. After the program, last week or the week before last, and I don't remember. I was invited to a very unusual meeting. I was glad to be invited. So after the program, I put a suit on, something I hate to do. I drive to Trenton, New Jersey. I get on a train, go up to New York City for this dinner. I had a chance to speak to some of the CEOs of the largest companies in the country. And, of course, I get an opportunity, I can get that opportunity if I pick the phone up. I don't get that opportunity to have so many in a room at one time where I can go from person to person. And every time I met them, introduced myself, they didn't know me. Hey, I'm so-and-so, here's what I do, here's where I come from and all that. Let me ask you a question. Your business, just your business, forget everything else, but just your business. What do you think? What's happening in the economy? I can't begin to tell you. I talked to one person, one of the largest corporations in America. He was, I'm guessing this, I'm going to say he was, I don't know, 60, maybe a little older, maybe a little younger, probably a little older, but 60 years old. Said he has never seen a business environment like this in his life. Never. That's pretty much what I got from everybody I talked to. And, you know, even though they may hate President Trump, they may hate the administration, they may hate a lot of things, but when it comes to their business, they said they've never seen anything like this. And these are some of these guys are people that have been around a long time. I spoke to a woman who was an executive vice president, moved on to CEO of a large computer company that has since gone out of business. And she said the same thing, never seen anything like this. I don't think I ever will again in my lifetime. She's probably 58, somewhere in that neighborhood. On and on it goes. I hear other people saying they've talked to so many people and have seen this over and over again. There is nothing fundamentally wrong with this economy. There's everything good. Will the global economy and the problems in the global economy end up affecting our business CEOs? Yes. Will it end up impacting our businesses, the way sentiment is? Yes, it will. It will. But it won't happen because of some fundamental problem in the economy. So if you're under 45 or you're over 45, this is the best economy and the best time to be in the market than you can ever imagine. Let me tell you something. If you have been a partner for 3 or 4 years and you have your asset allocation model pretty much filled, I want to tell you, and I don't want to over-spiritualize it because it's, you know, I shouldn't do that, but it was divine providence that you are where you are right now today because of what's going on today. We today, I'm talking about today, this morning, right now as I speak, I'm going to say an hour. I went, the very first thing I did when I went off the air, I was looking at this. We are at multiples in the market, ratios of 15. A month ago, we were at 18. No, a month and a half ago, we were at 18. We're 15. We are, which is very, very good. And that is an average. We have stocks, I have stocks on my list that are at 9, at single digits. And wait a minute, we've got unbelievably low interest rates. We've got unbelievably low inflation. And we have wages beating inflation for the first time in 16 years. You could argue that. Some would say 13. I would say 16 based on the data that I pulled, but it doesn't matter. We have wage increases beating inflation for the first time in a very long time. We have business sentiment that's off the charts. Or we have some headwinds like workers, we can't get workers. We have some headwinds called the Federal Reserve that could be an issue. But I don't believe that we are going to see more than another quarter of 1% for a long time. I'm still in the camp and we're not going to see one this month. I'm probably wrong. But there's a part of me that hopes we do, because then I think it could be over for a while. We may go to 1.5% by fall of next year, but it's still incredibly cheap. What we need is businesses to begin to understand that. We are seeing stock purchases by companies to the likes that we have never seen, particularly in the financial sector. And by the way, the financial sector, which I despise, by the way, but the financial sector, the biggest sector in the economy. I talked about oil today, and oil's a problem. But look, in reality, it's 15% of the S&P. That's all, 15%. And when we look at multiples of oil companies, we're well below 15% even. We are in a place that I've never seen. Now, I may have seen a day or two that I thought it was. I've never seen anything like this. I concern myself because I don't want to be overly optimistic, because I don't want anybody putting all their money. I want you to preserve your cash position, and I want you to be careful. I'll just bring up two stocks on my the industrial side sectors. You don't have to look hard. I only have two stocks on my buy list. If you don't own those stocks and you don't, or you don't buy that stock now, and you are a long-term investor, you're out of your mind. I'm just saying. Now, this doesn't mean put all your money in. I said sector. If you haven't filled that sector, or maybe you own them and you're not dollar cost averaging down in those two stocks, or you haven't yet, you're crazy. If you're in it for the long term. There are just two that come to me off the top of my head. We are in an unbelievable situation in the economy. Now, I say this to all age groups, don't sacrifice your cash position under any circumstances. You need to have cash. So look at the asset allocation models. I'm going to make another point. My asset allocation model is going to be changing. Probably towards the first part of the year, be on the lookout. Every age group is not going to change. By the 1st of February, you're going to see a monumental change come, because I'm waiting for something that I am not legally allowed to talk about from a buy perspective. But we'll wait for that. I said February 1st. It's supposed to be January 15th. I'm assuming it's going to get delayed. It's been delayed a number of times. Maybe later. But you're going to see some changes. If President Trump, this is another point I wanted to make, can work with Democrats on infrastructure, we're going to see new levels to this market and the economy. I don't want to say we haven't seen before because we're already at places we've never seen before. But again, if you're in it for the long term, you're doing great. Let me tell you my concerns. Treasury yield is dropping. This is a double-edged thing for me. So I'm concerned that there's a sell-off in the markets. But I'm happy that there's a sell-off in the markets. That's why we're looking at multiples of 14 to 15. Oil stocks are getting clobbered. I'm not worried that they can't recover. That would be an impossibility. Oh, they will recover. But I don't want to see layoffs. That's a concern. So I am concerned about that. I'm concerned about employment. And I'm worried about the oil sector. I don't want to see crude oil prices in the high 40s, high 30s, mid 40s. I don't want to see that. Low 40s. That's going to be a concern. I said this morning when I opened the show, we've got trade worries reigniting because of what happened with the arrest of a CFO of a large Chinese tech firm. Halfway through the show, I didn't know all the detail, so I didn't talk about it. But I find out this happened over the weekend, and they covered it up or kept it hidden. That changed everything. That changed everything. And I believe the market started to get a little bit better. They were down 600 points when that news came out. The Dow's down 470 now. Here's why the whole thing changed. It means that the Chinese government knew about the arrest before the Chinese commerce minister talked about how well the trade talks went, and they're going to be implementing some of the things they talked about. It means he said that after the government knew this person was arrested. It takes all the added trade worries off the table. I didn't know that this morning. Nobody did. Changes everything. We still have trade worries. I am concerned about it. We still have some sentiment that is falling in the business community, but the news media and the way they are lying about what is going on in the economy right now, my fear is that's going to impact consumers. Now, my bigger fear is that it's going to impact partners. I don't want any of you to be impacted by that. I can't do anything about everybody else. The news media is making us just watch any news network or read anything. This economy is all about President Trump and trade tariffs. That's how they're portraying what is going on here. I would portray it as algorithm, fast trading, some panic within brokerages that can't get rid of the algorithms fast enough. I would say that it's almost going to create I think now they figured out that this is creating an environment for them that's going to be very good because it's creating a buying environment. And I believe that a lot of it is they're letting it go right now. That's why the SEC has to investigate this. You know, there used to be a day when if I did something to manipulate the markets, I got put in jail. This is exactly the same thing. And all these guys sit back and say, well, it's the algorithm. I can't help it. There's got to be something done. Look, we've got treasury yields dropping because there's a sell-off. People are moving into treasuries. That's a concern that people are going to take it as it normally is or sometimes is, where it is considered a lack of confidence in the market and people are selling out. I would be okay with that, and I would buy into that if there was something to be something to lose confidence over. There isn't anything. Man, I've searched. I've looked. I've tried to find it. I can't find anything. There isn't anything. Could there be? Yes, there could. Let me tell you, it could get worse next first quarter next year. But I want to tell you that if you're in the long term and you own a good defense company, if you own Caterpillar, and yes, you've gotten beaten up, I've gotten beaten up, we've all gotten beaten up. In my opinion, the only thing I can do is buy more when I'm getting beaten up like that. There's a home builder stock on my list, LEN, that some of you own because it was on my list back in January or February, I believe. Maybe it was the latter part of last year, I don't remember. And somebody called about it, I think yesterday, asked me about it, and I think I said, oh, let's wait until we start seeing it rise up. It's at a 9 multiple. They're one of the most reputable home builders in the country. At some point in time, you got to buy it. Even if you don't own it, you got to buy it. There's an awful lot of good, and all I want for you is for all of you to take advantage of it. If you have never taken advantage of a down market in your life, and I would suspect that many of you have not, I'm asking you to do it this time. If I've helped you do that, remember the ministry someday when you're doing very, very well. Look, I have had technical sheets that I get emailed to me spread out on my desk that I have put my forehead on the edge of my desk, put my hands on all these papers and prayed that God would give me the wisdom to see through these things and see in these things and to be able to read between the lines of what they're really saying. I said that and I prayed that because so many of them are either too good to be true or some of them just don't add up with what we're seeing in the economy, in the markets, I'm sorry. I've had to separate myself from the economy and the markets like I've never done before. I've always done it to a certain extent, but not like I've done it this time. I know that there are financial advisors listening to this call. I would pray and hope that they would be convicted to honor God with the money that somebody has given them stewardship over. But if you don't do anything right for your client, you need to, if they trust you, you need to talk to them about staying put in this market. And that's what I'm doing for all of you. You've got to stay still and stay put and don't move. If you're in it for the long term, somebody called me today talking about a stock. I forget where she was from, but and I forget her name, but she called on the air today. She was talking about a particular stock that she said she had been in. Oh, and remember the stock? It was Western Digital. I forget this number, WDC. A lot of you own it. And I said, look, you got to keep that thing. And I told her all the reasons why from a fundamental perspective. Would you add on to it? I think I told her, no, let's wait till it ticks up a little bit, which is about to happen. And then if you remember, 20 minutes later across my ticker, it was upgraded. Not because of what I said, I'm sure, but because everybody's seeing the same things I'm seeing. There's opportunity here like we haven't seen. There's opportunities on my buy list like we haven't seen in a very long time. I don't want you to go out and put all your money into it. I don't want you to compromise your cash position. Under no circumstances do I want you to get overweighted in any one sector just because I said Caterpillar was a good buy, so you're going to go out and buy a bunch of it and get overweighted in industrials. I'm not saying that. I don't want you to do that. You got to stick to the plan. You got to be disciplined. Make sure you do it. The asset allocation models that are going to change, don't worry about missing them. I will send you an email. And I will let you know when they change, but they're going to change. I'm going to add some cash position in some portfolios. I am going to change. I'm changing up the income portfolio a little bit. I'm going to be changing up a couple of the 55 to 65 and the 65 into retirement models a little bit. I'm changing up some of the youngest models and changing them up a little bit. So you are going to see some changes. They're not going to be dramatic changes, and they're not changes you're going to have to institute overnight. But there's going to be some changes. I don't want you to get as optimistic as I might be about the long-term impact of this economy. I don't want you to go out and put all your money into it. You've got to maintain that cash position. All right, now the bad news. The bad news, and this is what I wrestle with, the bad news is on the political front. There's very little I can do. So I emailed a friend. Well, I'll tell you who it was. It was Mike Huckabee. And I said, Mike, you said to me on more than one occasion, and I repeated what he said to me. I said, give me some ideas of how we can get that in front of this administration. Maybe he will have some ideas and we can do that. And this is what one of the things is. I can guarantee this president will win the 2020 election if he were to listen to a couple of points. Yvonne and I prayed yesterday. I don't know how many of you saw the memorial service and heard the speakers. And you heard George W. Bush eulogize his father. And I don't know if you're like me, but you couldn't help but sit there and think, please, Lord, let these words go from his mouth to the ears of Donald Trump, that he would become more humble, more presidential, that he could someday desire to be eulogized like this man. We need a strong president that is going to be strong, and we got to pray to that end. The bad news is, there is a strong possibility that if the news media has its way, and they continue to convince more and more people that the woes of the market and their 401k and IRA are President Trump's problem. If that continues to happen, he's going to lose. And when he loses, we will lose the Senate too. Now we have got a problem. And everything I'm talking about is going to be off the table. And in the meantime, though, we've got to stick to this. And you're going to have to trust me that if and when that changes, we'll be able to catch that. We'll be able to start to make some moves. I am still going to maintain, as good as things are in the economy, that you, when things pick up again, that you continue to take profits. That is going to hold until the end of the first quarter of next year, maybe the end of the second quarter next year, but you're going to have to take the profits. We got to hope that the Federal Reserve continues a more passive, dovish tone, that they are satisfied with the normalization of the rates and that inflation is not going to get out of hand. All right, listen. Sentiment is falling in the business community. Consumers will follow that sentiment, and that sentiment is going to fall to consumer confidence. Business investment could start to dry up. All of that could happen. Our asset allocation model is going to change. The president could continue with the tariffs in China. That's going to continue to hurt the markets for an indefinite period of time. There could be, and I think it's likely that there will not be an infrastructure bill. That's going to be a problem for the economy. For the markets, no doubt about it. The Treasury yield will continue to drop. Oil prices will go to $40 a barrel or, heaven forbid, lower. And trade worries will ignite to a much hotter place. Those are the things that could still yet happen. Will that make the economy bad? Well, you'd have to believe no, because they have little to do with the sticks and stones of the economy. But they have everything to do with the sticks and stones of the economy. Because the economy is driven by sentiment, consumer sentiment and business sentiment. And the consumers and business people will react based on their sentiment and how they feel. Right now, I told you about the meeting I was at, the Steve Forbes meeting that I had 2 weeks ago. I told you about that meeting. I told you the sentiment was unbelievable. The businessmen and women in their 60s said they have never seen an economy like this in their life. But that can change when they believe that this economy is in trouble, not because of any fundamental reason, but because of politics in the news media, because of maybe their own personal ideology, maybe because the drive by mainstream media of wanting to get rid of Donald Trump is going to start rubbing off on some people. Then things are going to change. Then you're going to have the news media and not fundamentals, but markets now driving the fundamentals of the economy in a negative way. Now we've got a problem. The global economy has to pick up. That is the other problem that I'm concerned about. We've got to hope we see global economies start to get stronger, that we don't see any global economies like Switzerland, Germany, Italy, France go into recession. It looks like they're very close to doing it. Wouldn't be surprised if they begin at the end of this fourth quarter. Remember, a recession is two negative GDP quarters in a row. So it's not going to happen until the end of March before they're officially in recession, but it could. They're moving in that direction. That will hurt us eventually. I am concerned about the financial sector. I'm concerned about our banks. I'm concerned about derivatives. And I'm concerned about credit default swaps. That's they're like derivatives or another instrument. I'm concerned about failures in the banks. That's going to change everything. I am concerned about the national debt, more so than I've ever been in my life. The national debt is a huge problem, and it's spiraling out of control. If President Trump and his budget to Congress that is coming out soon, if he doesn't have a cut for all the departments in government, there's going to be a problem. We can't continue with this kind of national debt. I remember back in early 1980s, when some big-time Wall Streeters wrote a letter that they had published in the Wall Street Journal and other newspapers, a letter pleading with the government to keep an eye on national debt. Here's the problem with that. The government's now laughing at them, saying, yeah, you thought it was a problem back then. It's not a problem. It wasn't a problem then. It's not a problem then. Now we'll get over it. So they're the concerns I'm having. And anything that exacerbates any of that, anything that makes any of that worse, real fundamentals. I'm not talking about the news media. They're going to make it worse. I'm talking about the reality of it start showing up in economic fundamentals. Then you're going to get a different tone. Then you're going to hear me say it's time to sell. It's time to go to cash. It's time to change a lot of things. I just don't see that yet. And if it happens, I am convinced that it's going to be a contrived fall in fundamentals of the economy that is made up of the left, conspiracy theories, the left's out-of-touch reality, ideology out-of-touch with reality, and the news media. That has venom in every fiber of their being with the hatred of this administration. But having said all that, I believe that this president is ordained of God because the Bible says it in Romans 13. And I believe not only is authority ordained of God, I believe it was ordained of God that he get elected. God could have had him elected for to usher in the bad times. That is very possible. But hopefully it's an effort to get us on our knees in thankfulness and get us on our knees in repentance that we continue to see prosperity. We're in difficult times, and I want to tell you, last week when we were traveling, one day I said to Yvonne, I said, sometimes I think I made the biggest mistake I ever made by doing this ministry because I feel so much more responsible for everything that I ever did in my life. I feel like I have the weight of, 20,000 people on my back, a million listeners, I don't know, whatever it is. And God keeps expanding that. And Yvonne said to me, that's exactly why you can't get discouraged. God keeps expanding it. This is the will of God. He's going to give you the strength and I pray the wisdom to get through it. Look, it's scary times. Scary times for me. It's scary times for you. But I've lived through a lot of scary times in the markets. And I've always come out good because I didn't get out. Not because I'm smart. I was just smart enough not to get out. And I'm asking you to do the same. Hang in there. Stay tough. Don't move. Don't get out. Be concerned. You can ask questions. You can watch the videos. You can still buy some. Don't compromise your cash position. Look for these good deals. Look at the valuations. Look at the things that are in my buy list. I am going to try to make an effort. I hate to say this because I don't want to make the promise, but I'm going to try to make the effort to point out every week on my buy list some things that I would consider highlighted. Remember how I would highlight some stocks? I'm going to try to do that more often every week and have some highlighted stocks that are things that you almost have to buy if you can afford it in that particular sector. And remember, when I say those things, I'm always thinking long term. And I would ask you to please don't do this. Get in cash right now if you need this money in a year, if you're not in it for the long term, if you didn't know that's what I meant, 8 to 10 years, you didn't understand what 8 to 10 years meant, if you didn't understand that, then you need to get out. You need to not do this. But if you're interested in making your money work for you, then you need to honor God with it first and foremost, and you need to follow a good strategy. Why is my strategy good? I don't know why. I know it's good because it's always worked. That's the only reason I ask why I don't change it. I want to believe it's, because we are receiving God's blessings. So look, please hang in there. Don't be discouraged. I am looking every day at the fundamentals of the economy. I'm looking for confirmation every day that the economy is good and I'm looking for, or I'm looking for confirmation that the mainstream media is right. Confirmation from the economy. It's always right. It's never wrong. And we got to look for that. We have problems in the markets that I can't explain that I've never seen before. And I'm blaming it on, like so many others are, that are my age, that have been doing this for a long time, analysts. They're blaming it on the algorithms. They're blaming us on this, on these traders that are trading millions of shares of stock in literally a second and a half. ETFs that are doing that on a regular basis. And they can't stop the algorithms. We need circuit breakers in the market that's gonna blow these algorithms up. Used to be a day when a stock dropped so much, you stopped trading on it. You couldn't buy it. You weren't able, or you couldn't sell it. Stock was dropping, you couldn't sell it. Even if you wanted to, you couldn't sell it because it was stopped. And the only way you could sell it is if it moved up for a certain period of time or a certain amount of money. Then you could buy it. And then when it started dropping rapidly again and hit the circuit breaker again, it stopped. Couldn't buy it anymore. And they did the same thing on the upside. Those things, some of those things are gone. At least the uptick breaker is off. So a lot of this is what's going on in the markets. Because remember, we've got a whole lot less stock that these markets need to track and take care of than we did back in 2000. A whole lot less. So they've got to do some work to fix it. Don't know if they will. But in the meantime, we just got to stay tried and true to our strategies and stick to it. Now, look, I'm probably going to have another conference call. Maybe over between Christmas and New Year's, I don't know. But I suspect this month I'm going to have another one. So keep listening and pay attention. We'll send out an alert if I need to. Some of it might be just to reconfirm a couple of things. I got a lot of emails thanking me for not taking questions last conference call because we hear that on the air, and I'm not going to take any now. If you want me to take questions on the conference call, then you probably shouldn't tune in. Just listen some other time. But I want to just point out what I see, and I want you to put to rest, and I'm not too overly concerned yet, but I want you to know why I'm not, because of what I'm looking at, and we're going to stick to doing that. From 1990, from 2007 through the end of the Obama administration, I was right so much of the time that it was scaring me. And all I was doing was looking at the fundamentals. I'm going to continue to do that. I think I'm going to be right about where we're going now. But it only takes an arrest of one senior person out of China to change everything. And that's the world in which we live. I can't predict that. I can't factor it in. And I know you give me grace there and understand that I can't. That's a concern, but I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not worrying about those things. Listen, and if you are waiting to get into the market and you're not in right now, it's the most important thing I'm saying. If you're wondering whether to get in right now and you're a long-term investor, I'm telling you, get in. Do it today. We see multiples in some stocks at single digits and on average 15%. If you don't get in now, I would say you're probably never going to get in. So don't even try. Go into CDs and be done with it. Because if you're not getting in now, if you're waiting to get in, you're not getting in now, you're probably never going to get in. But if you have 8 to 10 years, if you got a long term, if this is money that you're not going to need for 20 years and you're not in yet, and you're waiting for things that, well, may drop a little lower. It might. It doesn't matter if it does, because we are at a place right now that is as good as it's been in a very long time. I would take advantage of it if I were you. Be prudent. Be wise. Don't buy anything that's not on the buy list. and stay diversified at all costs. Okay. I want to thank all of you. So many have already given to the ministry, by the way, for our campaign. We're doing pretty well. We're getting there. I'm a little concerned. Don't know that we're going to make it by the end of the year, but it's going to stop at the end of the year, whether we make it or not. I'm not going to be talking about it anymore because it's killing me. But we'll see. God is an amazing God, and he has been for this ministry. I have faith, and I pray that all of you will find it in your heart to give to this work that we are doing, and pray that God continues to use us in a powerful way, and pray for strength as we are being attacked on all sides. I thank all of you for what you do. I'm only here because of you, and I appreciate all of you so much. We've got great things on the horizon for this ministry. I know God's got even greater things. I'm not sure what all of them are. I'm a little nervous, but I know he must have great plans, and we're really excited about it. Have a great day. I sure appreciate all of you. God bless you, and thank you for all you do for the ministry.